This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua in New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Thanks for listening today. We know that you're hearing this message for a reason. God has something that He wants to say specifically to you right where you're at. And our hope is that by the end, you're encouraged and closer to Him than ever before. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning. It's really great to see all of you, especially on Veterans Day. And people sometimes get them confused. Memorial Day is for those people who served, but they passed away, whether in combat or whether they just died of old age. And today is for the people, or not really today, it was actually on Friday on the 11th, but is for the people who have served and are currently alive. And actually ran into a veteran, he had a World War II hat on, and fewer and fewer of those guys are around. And him and his wife were kind of trotting around in the produce area, and I thanked him. He was almost uncomfortable when I talked to him, you know, because I think people were just bombarding him. Western Michigan is such a phenomenal place to live, a very honoring, God-honoring place to live, and I'm sure that those guys just get it from everybody. Now, he had his big hat on, you know, those like massive trucker hats that they wear, and they've got all, I don't even understand all the like the stuff that's stitched on it, but they were in the military. So listen, if you find a veteran, man, be the people that thank them. And from the bottom of my heart, guys, I know that we have veterans in the crowd today. Thank you. Thank you so much. Church, give it up for them. Just honored. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am, for your hard work. We are well into November, and fall is in full swing. Now, I have this thing where I don't admit that it's fall until November 1st. So October, to me, is still a summer month. We took out, we bought this little cheap pontoon. We took it out like the third week in October because, like, we are serious about summer. It doesn't end until November, but now everything is changing. And how many of y'all been to the apple orchard or the cider mill? Or you've been out? Yeah, absolutely. And just some of my favorite things about fall I thought I would share with you. I was at Panera Bread and I saw this. Women are beginning to dress like Han Solo. It's Han Solo season at Panera Bread, and that's the line outside of it. I have no idea why that's popular. You know, I'm really into Force Awakens, but they take it very seriously. And then, of course, we all know this. We've been in pumpkin spice season since July. Brace yourself. Pumpkin spice, everything. It's already here. In fact, Kaya bought us just some toiletries and stuff like that. And I was brushing my teeth. Oh, this is so gross. It was pumpkin spice toothpaste. Like, I try to get that flavor out of your mouth. There's like a film on your, you know what I'm talking, oh, gross. Okay. So, and then the time change happened. How are we all doing with the time change? I saw this meme that came out, and time change be like, fall back. And that's the lady who has fallen and she can't get up. And I don't know about you, but my life is completely ruined. My schedule is completely off. I'm tired when I should be awake. I'm awake when I should be tired. I was up until 2 a.m. last night, and I'd like to say it was for something spiritual, but nope, just my clock is ruined by the time change. And but fall is awesome, and the colors have come and gone, and we're in the process of cleaning up all of the areas where the trees threw up, and but it's beautiful, and the weather's changing. Man, what an awesome just season with like the weather and stuff like that. So we had a nice real fall. It didn't like snow in September, which is just a huge blessing in my life. But it's a slippery slope until the end of the year. As we sit right now today, you are 48 days from 2017. I just want you to take that in for a second. You are days away from gathering around a Christmas tree and passing out the eggnog and celebrating the holidays, Thanksgiving and everything. And it's really the perfect time of the year to, as things begin to slow down, the days begin to go short, is to focus in on really what makes us great and what I think marks the end of the year for everybody, even worldly people. This marks the end of the year, and that is generosity. This is what the series is all about. It's one of our chapel culture statements. And if you guys are like, what's chapel culture? It's all those statements that are written out there on the wall on that big banner. And one of them is this: we are bold in generosity. We go above and beyond to give sacrificially to the work of God. That's one of our chapel culture statements. And I'm happy to say, guys, that you're doing it. I mean, just at our church, the beginnings. I mean, we're total church plant phase right now. This church, this year, when everything is said and done, will have given $15,000 to world missions. So I want you to take that in. Absolutely. You're doing it already. And this is going to plant churches and the needy and the lonely and people who need Jesus. And that's all of us. So it's gone out to do that, and we're leading the way with it. Why? Did you know that there are over 7,000 promises in Scripture? Now, they are promises, and I think of them like blank checks. You kind of can rate your ticket with God with these promises, but the thing about all of these promises, God doesn't give out a promise without a premise. They're all conditional blessing. In other words, what God does with these promises is the promise is, if you do this, I will do this. If you're generous in this area, in the context we're talking about today, I will bless you. And we see it all over Scripture. The blessings and promises of God will yield the success that we're looking for in life, the satisfaction, the fulfillment, the blessing that we're seeking in life. It's found in a life of generosity, but it all comes with a condition. Every promise has a premise. Does that make sense to you? And that's how we need to live our life. Now, in the context of this series, you've got to know that the Bible has more promises related to generosity than any other subject. There's so much linked into this that it's going to take a couple weeks really to talk about how much this means to the heart of God. And listen, I'm not just talking about money. I mean, don't just think that it's all material. It's all the green stuff. It is. But I'm talking about being generous with your time, with your energy, with your talent, with your praise, with every area of your life. We're called as Christians to be people who are generous in our life. So what is generosity? Why does it matter to God? Write it down. Generosity, I believe, is love in action. Write that down. When you came in, that little weekly that we talked about earlier in the service, it has a space on the back that you can take notes. I would really encourage you, jot that down. Generosity is love in action. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? If you want the blessing of God on your life, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the anointing of God through your life, you're going to have to build a cornerstone of generosity as part of your walk with God. And it's serious, because generosity is love in action. See, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can't tell me that you love your wife and then I talk to her and you ain't given her anything since you were... you don't love your wife. You're kidding yourself. If I talk to your kids... Now, I'm not talking about giving your kids everything that they want, but if you're not generous, if you're not a giver with your family, you don't really love them, because love gives. Over and over in Scripture, we see that. God so loved the world that he gave, right? It's central to our message. It's central to who we are all about. So if I'm not a generous person, I'm not a loving person. And I want to be more like God every day. Generosity is central to God's message to man. This last week, we were on a staff offsite, and that's where the leadership team of New Chapel, we kind of get out of the office setting, we get rid of all of our kids to the glory of Jesus, and we love our families, but we just got to get away, have some adult time, and have a meeting. And what we talked about was how we were going to finish the year strong at New Chapel, and how we're going to have the best January we've ever had. And that was the context of the whole thing. We worked our heinies off at that meeting. And in the midst of all of it, this unexpected email comes in, and I had to read it to the whole team. It was from my former dean at my Bible college. And he invited me, of all people in this whole world, to come to my former Bible college and preach an accelerated course, be a guest professor for 1 week, and teach about ministry, about church planning, about what God is doing here and how we did it. And I was just blown away by that. What an awesome honor. And it got me thinking about all of the things that we learn at Bible school, about Bible interpretation, the deep things, right? And it's called hermeneutics. That's what I'm going to be talking about for a second. And that is Bible interpretation. You're like, whoa. Here's what some of those things are. First mention, the first time the Bible mentions something. It's very important in Scripture. Historical elements in the Bible are very important in Scripture. Context is huge. Some people take something out of context. The Bible says that Judas went and hung himself. And then there's another scripture that says, go and do likewise. Don't connect those. Okay, context is huge. And then there's different classifications in the Bible. But one of the ways that you can interpret the Bible is by emphasis. Emphasis. In other words, the more times that the Bible talks about it, it's God emphasizing it to us. So in the Bible, there's different Bible words that show up. And how many of y'all would say that believe is a really important word in the Bible? Like that, I would say that's probably really important to what we're doing here today. Believe occurs 272 times. Huge deal. Pray. Like pray, that's got to even be a bigger deal. It is. 371 times, like 100 more. Love. I mean, come on, God is love, right? Love's going to be all over the place. Love occurs 714 times. But the word give occurs 2,161 times in Scripture. Why? It's God's way of saying, this is a huge deal. In fact, this is who I am. It's like what I do. It's the verb of the Bible. If the subject is God, right, the verb is give. That's what God does in our lives. He wants us to learn to be more like him. And I want it said of New Chapel that we are the generous people. I want it said of us when we're in Meijer and we're blessing somebody, or you're going through the Starbucks line and you buy the coffee of the person behind you. I want it said of New Chapel that we are the generous people because they're talking about you. On Facebook, they're talking about you at work. And I'm talking about Christianity. They're talking about Christians, but they're talking about you. And let it be said of New Chapel that they're not talking about our disagreements. They're not even necessarily talking about our deep theological beliefs. They're not talking about our differences. They're not talking about all the fluff. What are they talking about? These people love, and I know it because they give. Man, let it be said of us that we are givers. Say amen, somebody. So important. Giving to the needy, giving to the lonely, the least, investing in the future. I think that's central to the gospel message. Now, in the Bible, there are different books, of course, and some of them are letters, some of them were written as books. And in the New Testament specifically, there's letters that are written to you. Like Ephesians is written to the Ephesian church, but we believe theologically that applies to all churches. But there's also books in the Bible that are written to leaders and pastors. They're usually the ones with the dude's name at the front, like Titus and Timothy and stuff like that. Okay, so in 1 Timothy, Paul is speaking to his protege, Timothy, and he's given him instructions. Now, this was a young pastor. We believe Timothy was in between 17 and 21, young guy. We also believe that his church was in between 150,000 people and 300,000 people. It was blowing up. It was one of the most successful church plants in all of the Bible, and all theologians can come together on that. I mean, it's undisputed. It was massive. The way that they did it was small groups during the week, and they would have large celebrations a couple times a month. I mean, it was a huge deal. But this is what Paul speaks to Timothy, who has a church that's exploding. He says to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Stop for a second. For those of you guys that checked out when it said the word rich, because you're like, yes, not me, okay? Somebody else, not me. Let me just say, you live in the United States of America. The panhandlers that are in Grand Rapids, that I would say are probably the least of these, right? I mean, they're in poverty, many of them. Those guys are millionaires compared to somebody in Haiti, compared to somebody in some parts of Africa, in tribal Africa or in India. You, my friend, if you live in the United States of America, however poor you might be, you are rich. And we have to understand, guys, we are blessed to be in this country. So what he's saying is, don't be arrogant and put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Well, that's true. I think in the last week, the Dow had an all-time low and an all-time high. Yeah, don't put your faith in all of those changes. It goes on to say, but put your hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds. It's cool if you have an impressive bank account, but there's so much more that you need to do with that. And to, say it with me, and to be generous. Say that with me again. And to be generous. Command them. Focus them in on this. Wrap our minds around this fact, this principle we're supposed to be willing to share. In this way, they will do two things. Write it down. Lay up treasure for themselves if you're taking notes. And they will also take hold of a life that is truly life. Two motivations. The first one is you're gonna put treasure ahead. You know, I've noticed, and I've done a lot of funerals in my life, that at no funeral I've ever done has there been a U-Haul trailer behind the hearse. Kaya's mom, before she died, said you can't take it to heaven. And that was cemented in our hearts with the fact that she didn't take anything to heaven. But with the blessings that God has given you, you can leverage those blessings in such a way that you influence other people to accept Christ, and then you have sent it ahead to heaven. The blessings that you have here, you can send them ahead. And then the second thing he says, there's that you may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let me put it this way. You are not living until you're living a life of generosity. If it is all about you, if it is all about what you can hoard, if it is all about what you can gather in one spot, and you believe in the bottom of your heart that that will make you happy, I'm here to tell you, you are not living the life that's truly life. John Bunyan said this, you have not lived today until you've done something for someone who can never repay you. Ooh, that's very profound, isn't it? That's so good. Psalm 37, the wicked borrow and never repay. How many of y'all got like a brother or a cousin or a brother-in-law like that? But the godly are generous givers. Proverbs 11, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And that is my motivation. I want this for you. I want you to become generous because when you're generous, you will be refreshed. It's the life that's truly life when you're living a life of generosity. And the more that I got into this message, in fact, this was the great paradigm shift in my walk with God because I was very stingy. When they passed that offering plate by, it was an opportunity to get rid of my gum. You know what I mean? Like and that's funny, but it's also dead true. I can't believe that I did it, but I was very stingy. And when the love of God came into my heart and I felt his generosity, it was the first thing that changed in my life. Generosity just came out of me. I was just willing to give, willing to bless other people, right? And that is how I've lived for so long. And when I did it, anxiety went away. Fear about where my supply was going to come from went away. My trust in God increased. My belief in his goodness increased when I became a generous person. Paul, the guy that we just talked about that wrote Timothy, he was a church planter. He planted Timothy's church, and he kind of keep on going. He couldn't stay in one spot. He was a little bit ADD, present company would really get along with Paul, and he planted churches and left, and planted churches and left, and planted churches and left, and I'm not saying I'm going anywhere, but that's how he was. And Paul would go all over the place, and he gave these people a reason to give, and he really worked with them on motivation. He wanted them to understand why we're doing this. Write it down. Giving is a matter of the heart. Giving is a matter of a heart. Now, I'm going to explain that. When Paul would go to these different churches that were planted, they were largely planted out of one church that was in Jerusalem. It was like the first church. It was the first church plant that happened. On the day of Acts, 3,000 people got saved. The first church, the day that they opened the doors, 3,000 people, okay? So it was blowing up. And Paul loved this church, and all of the churches that were planted in Asia Minor and later in Europe and all over the place came out of this one movement that happened in Acts chapter 2. You should read that if you like extra homework. Well, Paul believed when he went to these other churches that were launched out of the church in Jerusalem, he believed that they should kind of pay it forward. Like, I'm going to come maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. And when I come, I would love it if you would take up a special offering, and I'm going to bring other people to come collect it and bring it back to that church in Jerusalem, because they're planting churches all over the place. It's blowing up. These are where our core leaders, the core apostles are all at. We need to make this thing happen. So what he would do is he would encourage them to give an offering. And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. By the way, homework people, if you love like extra work, 2 Corinthians 8, and 2 Corinthians 9 are paramount to the motivation, the blessing, everything that's associated. I can't read all of it, but I am going to read a little bit of it. Notice Paul's language here. This is what he says. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace. Now, stop for a second. Everybody look at me. That word grace isn't talking about salvation grace. It's the Greek word charis. It's where we would get like a word charismatic, someone who's gifted. You know what I'm talking about? This is talking about a special gift of giving, about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. So Paul's talking to these guys and he's saying, hey, the Macedonian churches are kind of tearing it up. What about you? He's kind of getting some healthy rivalry there. He goes on, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, I think only God can balance those two, it welled up in rich generosity. For I testified that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Guys, they blew us away entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. In other words, we tried to talk them out of it. We knew that they were poor, but they insisted that they would take part in this. They were so grateful in their heart. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave, very interesting, themselves first. What did they start out with? They start writing checks? No, what they started to do was to serve, to invest in other people, to give their time, their gifts, and their energy. And where did they give it? They gave it to the Lord. It goes to the church first. When you start volunteering here, I've known people who have been out of a job, and they start volunteering at church, and they sowed that time as a seed, and what happened was God opened up opportunity in other places at a better job with more money. It's incredible when you begin to get a hold of all of this stuff, guys. And then to us, in keeping with God's will, so we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, he was there first, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. In other words, I'm going to send Titus. He's going to collect the offering, but I'm really excited about you giving this. He goes on, but just as you excel in everything, look, you guys are bad to the bone. I love the Corinthian church. You guys are rock stars. You excel in faith. You excel in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us. See that you also excel in this grace, this gift, this motivation of giving. I'm not commanding you. I think it's so important that he says that. There's no obligation. There's no pushing. How many of you guys have felt pressured to give before and it just turns you off? Boy, I've been there before. He says, no, it's not about that. But I want to test something important. I want to test the sincerity of your love and compare it with the earnestness of other people. In other words, we're going to do a testimony here. We're going to see what God's going to do in your heart, and this thing's going to preach. Wow. And then he does this. He said, essentially, I want to remind you, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was in heaven, he had everything, streets of gold, yet for your sakes, he was born in a feeding trough, right? He became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here's my advice about what's best for you in this matter. In other words, this is for you. Last year, you're one of the first not only to give, but also to have an eager desire to do so. Now, finish the work. So that your eager willingness, there's that motivation again to do it, might be matched by your completion. In other words, we got to do this thing according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not what he doesn't have. In other words, it's not about the amount. It's about your heart. That's so key, guys. So here's what I love to do. I love it when the Bible kind of preaches my message for me. So this is kind of the key scripture for everything, and this is what I take from it. Jot it down in our last moments together. Number one, let's give joyfully. Write that down. Let's give joyfully. Let's give joyfully. If you have time, maybe on your phone right now, don't read it, but Google the article. It's called Hardwired for Giving. Hardwired for Giving. Maybe you just want to jot it down. Google it, though. It's a really good article. The scientists who tested these people had this question, why do people give? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't jive with Darwin's theory of evolution, which says the survival of the fittest. It would make no sense to be generous to somebody else because you need to survive. You need to edge your way to the top, right? And they did all kinds of testing on people and found out that they noticed that people enjoyed the feeling that they got when they gave. They tested their brains, and the article will bear out that a chemical is released in the brain of somebody who does something nice for someone else, who gives, who's generous with someone else in need. That is insane. That is so awesome. God has hardwired us, so when we do godly things, when we give, when we're generous, a chemical's released, and it makes you feel good about what you did. Isn't that awesome? It's just crazy. And that confirms Acts chapter 20. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. That word blessed there is not just like blessed, it's a blessing. The literal translation there would be happy. You're going to be so happy when you get a hold of this thing. It will make you happy. It will release something in you that will bring you true joy. And I found that the closer to God that you get, the more like a giver you become. It's not really a big deal. It's not really a big deal. When he's given you so much, there's no problem in being generous to other people. Proverbs chapter 21, some people are always greedy for more. That was talking about me, y'all. But the godly love to give. It's a joyful thing. They give joyfully. Second thing I see, write it down. Let's give selflessly. Let's give selflessly. It's not about us. Let's give selflessly. 2 Corinthians 8, they gave themselves first to the Lord. I thought that was such an interesting thing in the passage that we read. They gave of themselves first. I enjoy giving, church, so much because I feel like I'm giving a part of me. Way back in the day, before I was in ministry, I longed to be serving in a full-time position. And I was working in marketing and advertising and stuff like that. And what I did was I said, well, Lord, I am going to worship you with my tithe, and I want to be in ministry, so here's what I'm going to do. The first 10%, if you will, of my day, whatever that comes out to, I want to let you know that that is me working in full-time ministry, and it's my seed into working into full-time ministry. And I give my tithe just like I always did, but it was this matter of the heart where it's like, I'm going to selflessly give because it represents part of my life. It's a part of what I'm doing. And whether you give financially or of your time, what is it? It's your life. It's your life. It's a representation of who you are, what you've done, where you've been from. And when you are generous with someone else, with a ministry, with what God's entrusted you with, what happens is you're giving of yourself. And that's what our God did, right? He didn't write us a check first. What did he do? He gave of himself. 2 Corinthians 9, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. What is he talking about? Jesus. He gave of himself first. And we are all influenced by other people's generosity. It happens all the time. Happens here today. I mean, this awesome stage and the stage set and the tech team, all of these people made this environment. This is a cafeteria. Like gross high school students come in here stinking, their head stinks, and there's all kinds of like axe bath like baked into the tiles and foods all over the place. You can't imagine the amount of pizza sauce that we have found in this room. I mean, just crusty, gross, and they make this into an awesome worship environment. They gave of themselves. The people that are taking care of your kids or your grandkids or your nieces or nephews, they're giving of themselves right now, and we couldn't do it without them. I can tell you right now, if Aurelia was in the room, y'all just be either staring at him or listening to him. We need those workers back there, and they're giving of themselves. And that's really what Frozen Sunday is all about. Do you guys like that promo that we showed? That was really cool. It's going to be an awesome event. It's going to actually be the largest outreach New Chapel has ever done. We are going to make sure of that. It's going to be so cool. We're going to have awesome inflatables. We're going to have snow cones and cotton candy and carnival games and Elsa and Frelsa and Olaf and Wolof and whoever else is on the cast. I think there's reindeer. I don't know. They're all going to be there, and we're going to have pictures with them, and it is going to be an amazing opportunity to invite the world to church because we're doing Frozen Sunday. I have an awesome message. I already have my title for the message for the adults. It's called Let It Go. It's going to be awesome. You're laughing, but wait till you sit right where you're sitting right now, and I'm going to be telling you, let it go. And the kids are going to be learning stuff, and we work through all of these awesome things. It's going to be phenomenal, and that's why, guys, I need all hands on deck. In addition to our normal volunteers that we have on a Sunday morning, I need 30 extra people, and really, I need you to sign up today. Like, it'd be awesome if I could count on you now and not have, like, the Thursday before Sunday me begging you to, like, cancel Christmas plans to come hang out with me for kids. I'd love it if you signed up today. You can do that at guest services. But Frozen Sunday is going to be off the hook. And for some of you guys, in your heart, in your mind right now, you're just like, I'm going to give maybe some money towards it, but I don't do serving. And I would just challenge you, what they said in 2 Corinthians 8 is they gave of themselves first. I just don't do that. I'm so glad that Noah didn't say that I don't do boats. I'm so glad that David didn't say that I don't do giants. I'm so glad that Mary didn't say that I don't do virgin births. I'm so glad that Paul didn't say that I don't do letters. I'm so glad that the launch team didn't say that we don't launch churches. I just don't do that. It's not my thing. I'm so glad that the team today didn't say that we don't do serving. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say, I don't do crosses. Amen, somebody? We all have a part to play, and I believe this is just the perfect opportunity for you to do that. So are you getting the spirit of this thing? Are you getting the spirit of generosity? We need to break the back of stinginess in our life. Third thing, write it down. Let's give willingly. Let's give willingly. We need to give because we want to. One of the big questions that I get asked all the time is tithing for today? Dun, dun, dun. You know, and I hear like some NFL music or something, and is tithing for today? Pastor Joe, I heard that it was a law, and we're redeemed from the curse of the law. And you're right. You don't have to tithe to go to heaven. You don't have to tithe to go to heaven. But what Jesus did is he didn't throw out all of the, because the law was there to make people godly, a primitive people. Without God's spirit in them, they needed to be told what to do in order to be godly. What Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. In other words, what does he do? He wants us to have a motivation change. And I'm here to tell you, when the Spirit of God comes in your heart, there's a motivation change. In fact, if you have your arms folded and you're wondering what you do and do not have to do as part of Christianity, check yourself. Are you right with God? Because one of the laws in the Old Testament that we're redeemed from the curse of the law is thou shalt not commit adultery. Let me tell you something. It probably didn't go over really well in the Old Testament when the guy said, listen, I'd love to cheat on you, but I got to go to heaven, okay? So I'm just not going to do it. I want to, bad. But listen, sweetie, we're stuck because the law says, don't do that now either. Like, that's not going to help your case. What you need to do is, obviously, godliness would say that you wouldn't commit adultery, right? Right? But the motivation has changed. You don't want to commit adultery now. I want to tithe now. I want to be faithful to my wife. I want to live a godly life now. The motivation has changed. I'm not some primitive animal anymore without the Spirit of God in me. God's inside of me. I want to be godly. Say amen, somebody. And that's what it's like with giving. It's something that I want to do. Like, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be a giver, to be generous in my life. Number four, write it down. Let's give. Let's give thankfully. Let's give thankfully. Like, be happy about what we're doing willingly, but also be thankful when we do it. And I just believe sometimes when we do it, it is the loudest praise God that you could possibly give. Like it's a huge deal. Let me just say, y'all, I'm not over what God did in my heart. I'm not over it. I was tore back. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was anxious, but God, with a mighty hand, stretched out his hand to me and put my feet on a rock. He saved me. He made me new. I'm not the person that I was before. And I just got to tell you, I'm not over it yet. I'm not over what God has done. And I've asked what the psalmist wrote, how can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness to me? How can I do it? You know what the answer is? You can't. You can't. You just give of yourself. You just live your life as a living sacrifice unto God, because 1 Chronicles 29, everything comes from you, God. And we have all given you only what comes from your hand. We can only give, guys, because God gave it to us in the first place. If God's generosity ended this moment, your heart would stop. Everything, even the ability to be able to earn money, all came from our God. And that's God's heart for us. Number five, write it down. Let's give intentionally. Let's give intentionally. It was really popular back in the day for people to do random acts of kindness. And let me just say, don't let your kindness be all random. Connect it back to God. Be intentional in what you're doing. Because many people end up doing things out of emotionalism instead of out of intentionality. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that chapter 8 and chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians is key to learning generosity. Here's what Paul says. You must make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Neither, either, none of those two. Not because you're Mr. Cheapo. Don't give reluctantly. But don't also be pressured to do something that's outside of what you're trying to do, which is intentional. Make up your own mind. And what it's trying to convey here, here's the principle. Be generous intentionally, really for eternal influence. Because we want to influence other people for God. And that's why, guys, and you've been hearing about it for a while now, I really want to explain it. That's why we're doing the Louder Than Words offering. You've heard about this, right? We've been showing it in the month of October. I think even a little bit in the month of September, the Louder Than Words offering. What is this thing all about? Okay, simple. Our weekly giving just covers the operation costs of the church. So when you see us do big events or have outreaches or fun extras or things for your kids or even some of the curriculum that we do, it's not from our regular weekly giving. It's because people sacrificed the year before to put on those events. So some of the great things that we've done as a church have been because of generous people saying this, and this is key, what we do speaks so loudly you can't hear what I say. Don't you think Grand Rapids has heard it enough? Right? In fact, I would challenge you. You go on the street, try to find anybody that hasn't heard about Jesus Christ. They've heard all of our words. A lot of words. Talk, talk, talk. But are our actions louder than words? Is what we're doing so loud that they can't hear what I say? And I would even go so far as to say this. Until they see our love in action, they don't care what we have to say. Have you found that to be true? They will know that we're Christians by our love, by our generosity. So what we do is every December, people sacrificially give. And some people, it's going to be a stretch for you to give $100. And I get that. Some of you in the room, it's going to be a stretch for you to give the $10,000 check that God's calling you to give. I get it. But it's the way, literally, that we're able to reach outside. Now, we're doing fine as a church. We're doing excellent services and excellent series, and we're kicking butt back in kids. We're not hurting. But if we want to go outside of these walls and not just put on the Christian show every Sunday to see people truly give their lives to Christ, we need to go above and beyond and make our actions louder than words. It goes to things like this, purchasing the Orange curriculum for our kids' ministry, outreach events like the Frozen Sunday that we talked about, dynamic Easter outreaches and productions, and family-driven church outreaches. Influencing college students. We did this awesome college outreach where we had a pack of ramen noodles and an invite to church, and we saw kids come from all the different colleges. It was really cool. We have daycare outreaches. We had all kinds of volunteers come in to help us put these daycare packets together and invite people to movie nights and purposefully giving to Mel Trotter. I want to up our giving to Mel Trotter significantly because they have a plan to take care of the poor in Grand Rapids. And I don't just want to give money to somebody who obviously doesn't know how to manage their life. And I'm not trying to be trite there. I want to give to a program, to a system, to an organization that can educate, encourage, minister to somebody to get them on their feet and making a difference in our city. I think that's what we have to do. Compassion International, they sponsor kids all over the world. This is something, I don't have time to go into all the specifics. We need to up our giving towards Compassion International to affect the poor and needy in this world. What is true religion if we're not taking care of people like that? Your church has put on funerals for widows. Your church has taken care of people. Your church has bought books for people that could not pay. And I'm here to tell you that it's all because of your giving during events like that. It's louder than words. If you want more information about that, go to louderthanwordsoffering.com. Okay? Louderthanwordsoffering.com. Here's what happens when you do this. This is key. This is the motivation. 1 Timothy chapter 6. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. Those of you that lived through 2008, you know that's true. I lost $30,000 in investments in 2008 because there's no sure investments in this world except for people. You want to store up for yourself treasure in heaven? What is it talking about when it says treasure in heaven? Really, let's think about that critically. Gold is asphalt. I mean, there's mansions everywhere. I'm going to assume people are going to be generous there. Commerce is going to go fine. Everybody's going to be fair, right? What's the treasure? What is the true riches? The treasure of heaven is people. The people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, the people in your family, the people that you drive next to you, those people. And when you're generous, when you send it ahead, when you make your actions louder than words, when you are generous, you store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Oh, that's so cool. Oh, that's such an awesome investment. The wisest investment that you can make. Well, Pastor, shouldn't I still invest? Make an investment. That's cool. That's wise. I've done that. I've lost my shirt doing it. And I've done it, and it's been profitable for me. But the investment in people, the investment in the next generation, here's what it does, and here's the promise. Write it down. The promise is you cannot outgive God. Man, You can't do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. When you sow into louder than words, when you buy somebody's groceries who can't afford them, or maybe somebody's struggling to pay for their whole prescription and they have to decide whether they want this prescription or that one, and you just overhear it and you pay for the second one, when you do things like that and connect it back to God, why did you do that? Man, God's just been good in my life and I have it extra and I just want to bless you. God loves you. When you make that connection and you make your finances, your wealth, your time, your energy, your resources, your talent, when you take that and leverage it for the kingdom of God, when you sow that, you reap from God. Now, here's the cool thing. You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. We think of that as negative. Not negative. Positive. You sow, you're still going to reap. Since you sow a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit. But if you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. What is that talking about? Again, you can't outgive God. I want you to think about God. He's up in heaven. And he's seeing this bad to the bone, 40-something-year-old woman. She had kids young, and all of her kids are out of the house. And this woman is making meals for people who are in the hospital. And she's serving at church. And she's investing in people. And she gives faithfully. I want you to think of it from God's perspective. Don't you think God would bless her with more resource? Yeah. Because here's what God can do with someone like that. Someone like you. Not just the person who has nothing better to do, but you. Write it down. God doesn't want to just give to you. He wants to give through you. Hashtag New Chapel. You should Facebook that immediately. God just doesn't want to give to you. He wants to give through you. And I've been on the receiving end of this. Back when I was in Bible school, I mentioned that it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was renting a room from a guy named Bill Wallace, and Bill was an awesome guy. He had actually planted churches and Bible schools all over the world for the Central Bible School that was in Tulsa, and Bill was awesome. His wife had died a couple years ago, and he was just looking to help out college students, so he rented the room at a very reasonable rate, and Bill was an awesome guy. We were fast friends. He was an oldie. He would talk about the good old days. I would tell him what was current. He didn't understand. It was cool. I mean, he was in his late 70s. It was awesome. And for Christmas break, I got ready to go back to Michigan. I took a train. I mean, this almost sounds like a story out of the 40s, but I took a train to Michigan, and he was going to drive to some family that was up in West Virginia. And on Christmas morning in Michigan, I got a call from his son. Bill had a stroke somewhere on the way, and they believed it was by the grace of God, was able to even get in their driveway, because when he got out of the car, he fainted and really never recovered. They did everything they could, and he passed away Christmas morning. Three people in my life have passed away on a Christmas morning. I mean, I was distraught. You can understand. Someone that you live with, someone that you're close with. And after Christmas break, my dad and I, we took the trip down to Tulsa. We knew that we were going to have to move, find another place, and went there, and they were in a rush to sell it. And I said, well, how long do I have? A couple days? I said, we really need you to leave today. But there's a lady down the street that's been asking about you. Well, I knew the lady. Her name was Pat. Pat would come by and she would cook food and she would bring it to Bill because she was a very generous person. She knew that his wife had died. And she would come and bring little gifts and little things like that to bless him. And she'd sit and have a glass of water, and she didn't really like coffee. And they would talk and all was well. And whenever she would leave, Bill would look at me and go, she's crazy, you know. And you know, she was a cool lady. So I went down and I knocked on her door. And Pat answered the door. She was very eccentric, very lively. I have no idea. Something had to be wrong with her thyroid to have all that energy. I mean, she was just insane. And she went, ta-da, when she answered the door. And I said, hey, my name's Joe. I remember you. Are you gonna live here? Yes, I'll live here. This would be wonderful. And I had an arrangement with Bill, and I would love the same arrangement if you're willing to rent me a room. And she welcomed my dad and I, and it was late at night. We moved everything over. By the time everything was said and done, we went to bed, and they scheduled breakfast in the morning. We had pancakes. We woke up and sat around the table with Pat, her husband Joe, and Gary, and we had pancakes. And I said, you know, Bill, I was renting for this amount, and this was my contribution. This is what I had to do. And And Joe and Pat looked across the table to me and they said, just want to let you know that none of that's going to happen. You're not going to pay a dime for any of this. And they didn't make me pay anything. And what happened later was not only did they not let me pay, but they paid for all of my food. They made me dinner, of course, but she packed me a lunch every day. And she did my laundry and ironed my shirts and folded my unmentionables and did everything that a mom would do. And she took care of me and loved on me and invested in me. And she passed away a couple years ago. An awesome lady, really cool, really crazy. But she was just gold. She's so rewarded in heaven right now. And I texted Joe last night. And I said, Joe, I want to let you know that I'm going to be telling my church. I'm going to be telling my church about how generous that you were to me. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Cornelius gave and it came up as a memorial before the Lord. And I said, Joe, wherever I preach, as long as I live, let it be a memorial to you. Let it be a memorial to your wife. Thank you. Your generosity kept me in the game. Oh, I wanted to quit so many times. It was hard. You know that it's hard to be in ministry. And yet I had people behind me. I had this investment in my life. And I promise you, wherever I go, as long as I preach when I'm an old man, it will be a memorial to the investment, to the generosity, to the love that comes from giving. It changed my life. And I'm not an emotional guy. We're not taking an offering today, so if you're nervous, like, get a life. Just a normal offering, nothing special. This isn't. Generosity changes everything. The love of God cannot be expressed without giving. That is why this series is so important. That's why we have such an awesome God. Other gods demand that you would die for them. Our God died for us. Other gods would demand that you would die for them. Our God wants us to live for Him. Amen, somebody? Heads bowed, eyes closed in this holy moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you just make us more like you. Strip selfishness from our heart. Make us more generous. Help us not be so stingy. Help us not to look past people at Meijer. Help us to love like you loved. And Father, I do pray that there's somebody sitting in here and this is real to them right now, but they don't have a relationship with you. Help me to find them in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to just talk to you. With your eyes closed, I want to speak just to your heart like it's just you and me. Are you in here and you know you need to make your life right with God? Like you need to be right with the God that's a giver. What happens when you do that is He makes all things new in your life. He makes all things new in your heart. You'll have an eternity in heaven like He promises it to you. But eternity starts today. Eternal life comes out of your heart, comes out of your life. The blessings and promises of God enter into your life and you can begin to live your best life now. But it all starts when you say a prayer. It's a prayer of dedication and consecration unto God. It's you saying, God, I make you boss. I'm not a great boss in my life, but you look like you got it together. I make you Lord, boss over my life. And if you mean that prayer, all things will be made new. Church, let's say this prayer with all of those people saying it for the first time. Say it with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me clean. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these people that accepted Christ in this place. Lord, thank you for your generosity to us. Thank you, Lord, for going to a cross with our name on it. Thank you for washing us clean of every sin that we've ever committed and making us new. God, we thank you that these people accepted Christ. Surround them with other believers. Get them plugged into a small group and help them to know that nothing will be the same. In Jesus' name. Church, give it up for those people that accepted Christ in this place. Awesome. Just really cool, really cool. That's why we do this thing, right? Listen, if you said that prayer for the first time, that same connection card that I showed you earlier has a little box on it, and it says, I accepted Christ as my Savior today. Same thing I told the people who are here for the first time. I'm not going to show up at your house, embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything like that, but I would love to send you a letter talking about next steps that you can take in your faith, and I want to be sure that you do that. Fill out that connection card, and like I mentioned before, we're going to transition our service right now into the generosity portion. Guys, I'm excited about this, and again, there's no special offering today. We do this every single week, and I want you to give as you have purposed in your heart, not out of emotionalism, but out of worship towards God, and this is what the Bible says in Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, people. Invest in people, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Let me just tell you something, guys. When the gift leaves your hand, it doesn't leave your life. When you invest in people, you're investing in the only thing that I know has a positive rate of return every time. We never lose when we're generous. A couple ways that you can give, obviously, in service you can give. You can text to give. We have an app for that, which is really way trendier than I ever thought we could be at New Chapel. And most people, though, they give online at newchapel.com/give. It's the way that Kai and I give. I got my automated message this morning that thanked me for giving, and it's a letter from me, which is, you know, more of an awkward moment on my email time than I thought it would be, But can I just say thank you? Thank you for investing in the future, and thank you for worshiping God with your giving. Take your gift in your hand real quick. Maybe you gave online. Grab your phone out. You can hold your phone. What we're going to do is we're going to believe God that this investment is going to make a difference in someone else's life, that it is true worship to God, and that it will bring us back a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the work that you started in this place. We thank you that you're faithful to complete it. Father, we thank you that as people begin to wrap their mind around this message of generosity, that, Lord, you show them that you are faithful. Lord, I thank you that as people give some of them for the first time, that, God, you show them how much it means to you. Lord, I thank you that all of these people, when they give, we give out of a willing heart and we give thankfully. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from New Chapel. We hope that you were blessed and encouraged. You can follow us online at Facebook, Twitter, or go to newchapel.com.